Thought that was my accompaniment for this. Chapter 10 already. This is a very familiar passage. We've probably been taught chapter 10 all through our life, through Sunday school as kids. It's referenced often in different sermons. And I'm trying to just wrap my head around different things and come to an understanding of some of the whys. This morning, as we look at the first 10 verses of John chapter 10, there's really no break between chapter 9 and chapter 10. The time flow is the same. As Jesus has just finished talking to the Pharisees in the end of chapter 9, as he has told them, in essence, that they're blind to the truth. This continues. And he's still continuing to talk to this same crowd, these Pharisees, his disciples, those that are sitting around there, who have been there since the miracle of giving the blind man sight. And he's going to use a very common metaphor today. And as he uses this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd, this is not a parable. It does not begin with heaven is like. So it's not a parable. This is kind of truth being painted in a picture that we can understand. In some ways, I think we as the 21st century church, and this goes back even to probably for the last couple centuries, theologically, we have thought that God owes mankind. God created mankind. He allowed mankind to sin and fall from his grace. So he had to scurry to make a way to make things better because of his wrong to mankind. And you might scratch your head and say, But think about it. In some ways, I think that's how we think. God owes salvation to mankind. God owes nothing to man. God created mankind perfect, innocent, gave him everything there was to give. And mankind thumbed their nose at God and said, I would rather it be my way. And God, in his love, in his grace, has gifted salvation to, in the way we'll talk this morning, to his sheep. So let's read the first 10 verses of John chapter 9 this morning. Or John chapter 10, I'm sorry. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he has been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly." The metaphor of a shepherd and sheep is throughout Scripture. The example of shepherds. I mean, we don't have much cause for shepherds today. But back in the Old Testament and into Jesus' day, it was a very important, if not looked down upon, job. I mean, in a way, shepherds were like the trash collectors of today. A very, very necessary job, but something that most people look down upon. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac and Jacob, they were shepherds. King David was a shepherd. And we see them example after example throughout the Scriptures. But the most important shepherd that we look to, we find in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So God's people have been compared to sheep since way back deep into the Old Testament. And Jesus is going to use this metaphor. And next week we'll see where he makes the statement in verse 11 that "I am the good shepherd." Well, today he's going to kind of beat around the bush at that. He's going to claim to be the door. And what does that mean? Verse 10, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep." What is the fold of the sheep? Back during this time, each town had a sheep's fold. There was a rather large pen area that all the shepherds could come and put their sheep in at night. There was one door. The walls around the pen were tall enough to where the sheep could not get out. And there was one door. And generally, they would have at this point, you see, the shepherds had a long and strenuous day. "Tom, you used to be a trash collector. Were those long and arduous days? And were you tired when you finally got home?" He's nodding his head yes. These shepherds, they were watching these sheep all day long. And they say sheep are dumb. And I kind of compare, me and Beth, over the last couple of months, we adopted, procured, brought home 2 kittens. They're so cute. They're like 2 little children. They just play and fight and roll around all day long. I've had cats in my day. Never really liked them until now. I don't know if it's my old age. I don't know if what. But one thing I have never seen I can't do it. And maybe you can correct me. Maybe it's just I don't work with them long enough. But I can never look down at Autumn and say, Autumn, come here. Coco, come here. Have you ever seen the one little, I think it's Far Side cartoon, where the guy's sitting there and he said, this is what you say, you know, hey, cat, come here, eat your food, blah, blah, you know, Autumn, blah, 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 and then, you know, this is what the cat hears, blah, 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 Autumn, blah, 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 Autumn. Yeah. That's kind of what a cat is. Now, sheep aren't quite that dumb. And we'll see that as this goes on. But they would put the sheep at night so the shepherds could get some rest in the sheepfold. And they would hire a man to watch them at night. And I heard stories before that kind of how there wasn't necessarily a gate on the sheepfold. But the shepherd, whether he was out at night and built his own sheepfold to keep the sheep safe, or here in the town with this doorkeeper, they were the door. And they would lay themselves down into the doorway or passageway to get into the gate. That way, if they were to fall asleep and a sheep tried to get out, they would have to walk over them and wake them up. So this position was pretty important. Jesus says, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. Now the question we have to ask here is, why is Jesus bringing this up here? What does it mean? Who are these sheep? And what is the fold? And there's all kinds of different scholarly things to explain this. Some say that the sheepfold is the world. I don't necessarily see that. I see this sheepfold that Jesus is talking about here. Who's he talking to? Who? Okay, his disciples. Who else? Okay, and who is this crowd? Jews. This is his primary audience. So this sheepfold, as I see Scripture, are Jews. Jews who Jesus came for. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So as you have this sheepfold full of Jews, the shepherd comes and calls his sheep. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So here's Jesus as the good shepherd, comes to his sheep and calls them, and they hear his voice. Verse 4. When he puts forth all his own, or when all his own are finally out of the fold, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's a funny thing they say about sheep. Sheep know their shepherd's voice, or they knew their shepherd's voice. And the shepherds would actually name each of their sheep. And maybe they did a better job of coming than Coco and Autumn. But when the shepherd called the name of the sheep, they would follow. Verse 5, and a stranger will simply not follow. They simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger. So you could have two different shepherds with two different folds of, two different herds. Sounds good to me. And a gaggle of geese. Yeah. Two different. And the one shepherd will call the other shepherd sheep, and they won't follow. So, as we look at this, glance real quickly down to, because Jesus is talking here primarily of Jews. Look down at verse 16, which we'll get to next week. Jesus said, I have other sheep, which were not of this fold, but I must bring them also. Who are they? Gentiles. As Jesus brings his sheep together. So, going back just to the primary purpose of this, the shepherd calls his sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and they follow. So if we look at the entire pen as Judaism, or the Jews, and we look at the sheep that Jesus calls, and they come and they follow him, not all the sheep follow, but those that are his, and they will not follow a stranger. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were in which he was saying to them. I mean, these are some of the smartest men in the land. I dare say most of them probably had most of the Old Testament, if not all of the Old Testament, committed to memory and could explain it. But when Jesus, the true word, came to them and spoke to them, they were clueless. Why? Because they did not know his voice. They did not follow him. So they don't understand. They did not understand these things which he had been saying to them. So Jesus, again, says to them, let me put this in a little different context. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We can go all over the place in this, and I don't always like to go all over the place. But Jesus here is telling these chief priests and Pharisees and Sadducees and other leaders, he's comparing them to thieves and robbers. I mean, they thought they were the true thing. They would stand before all the people of Israel, and they would say, we are God's shepherds. You are sheep. But Jesus says, no, you are thieves and robbers. And when we look at the hierarchy of how Jesus has things, he is the good shepherd. In the beginning, the chief priests and rabbis, back early on in the Old Testament, before they forgot who God really was, most of them were probably good under-shepherds. We think of men like Samuel. Isaiah. David. Perfect? No.
When I see good shepherd, I equate that to Jesus is the perfect shepherd.
But Christ in his vast knowledge, his love for the sheep, he has placed within the sheep's lives what we would call under-shepherds. God in the Old Testament was the good, perfect shepherd. Samuel. Abraham. All these other men. David. They were under-shepherds. And God even today gives his children under-shepherds. Not perfect people. I know Ryan, he's not. But men that he places in your lives to help guide you. Hopefully, most of the time, we and those within our congregation, we know each other well enough that we know each other's voices. And when we go and we see one of us straying, when Bob allows his hair to get a little bit too long and we can go to him and say, "Dude, it's time for a haircut." Hopefully we hear each other's voices. Hopefully we understand the love that we have for one another. Jesus says, "I'm the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers. Who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Guys, there's many things in this world today that claim to bring us salvation. Whether spiritual salvation or just some kind of worldly salvation. But the Bible tells us there is only one way. It is through the door. Who Christ is the door. "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture." What's the job of a shepherd? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He takes me into green pastures." Shepherd's job is to feed the sheep. A shepherd's job is to lead the sheep. "The sheep know my voice and they follow me." And the shepherd's job is to protect the sheep. That's why sometimes, and I try not to do it that often, and I probably don't do it often enough, I am going to give warnings of people who are dangerous for the sheep. Those within our community, those within our community of greater Christianity, who claim to be shepherds, but by the actions that they portray, by the habits that they're caught up in, they prove themselves to be thieves and robbers. You know why I don't like to call out too many people? Because I see my own imperfections. But Ryan and I are called to protect you, to lead you, to feed you, just as Jesus is telling the Jews of his day. Verse 10, the thief, they come only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly.
What does that mean?
I mean, in the eyes of the world, I live a very comfortable life. I definitely have enough money to eat. I have a rather nice dwelling place. I have a wife that I adore and who puts up with me most of the time. But is that what an abundant life is? Is it centered on the here and now? Guys, having an abundant life is being able to go through trials and tribulations and still have joy because you know who is in control. You know who your shepherd is and you follow his voice and he leads you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it's tough. I mean, I think we all try to put ourselves into George and Jan's shoes with Heather. When you look at things and it's like, God, what are you doing? When you fear for tomorrow because you don't know what's going to happen. But my sheep hear my voice and I follow them and they know me. That's where our focus needs to be. And many of us are going through the same types of trials and tribulations. And we don't understand the whys and the hows. And we look and we try to pin it somewhere. It's so-and-so's fault. Or it's this person's fault. Or even, it's my fault. But my sheep hear my voice. And they know me. And they follow me.
Thieves try to come in and steal the sheep.
But Christ's true sheep will not be led astray. They know who to follow. Guys, the question I have for us today, whose sheep are we? Are we his sheep? Do we hear his voice? Do we follow him? I'm going back to one of my mainstays. Peter, talking with Christ. Everybody's left him. Christ says, Peter, are you too going to leave? Lord, where am I going to go? Only your message makes sense. Only you hold the keys to eternal life. Lord, you are the shepherd,
and I hear your voice.
We can have victory in this life, even through all of our failures, all of our stumblings, all of our sin. We can still have victory if we keep our eyes on the shepherd. Father, you know our name. You know our every thought. And Father, you know that we're not perfect. And we know that we're not perfect. But Lord, as you being the shepherd, as we being your sheep and know your voice, then Lord, we have you to protect us, to lead us, Lord, to feed us through your word. Father, I pray for your church this morning. Father, the imperfect band of brothers and sisters that we are, Father, we are declared righteous and perfect and holy because we follow the shepherd. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today, Father, who's not a part of your fold, but Father, you might reach down and adopt them. Purchase them through the blood of your Son, that they may hear your voice and follow you. Lord, it's not in our works. It's not in any good thing that we have done. But because of your mercy that you save us. Father, continue to grow us as a family of God. May we reach out into our community, to our friends and families. And Father, may we communicate to them the gospel that is the only thing that's able to save. For it's in Christ's name we pray.